You're headed home. Amen. To God be the glory, that's for sure. Now, this morning, we've had a lot going on, so you hang in there and bear with me today. I'm finishing the message. The Lord's brought it to an end. On mastering our speech. And, the Lord's been dealing with me with a lot of things. It's funny. It's funny. It really is. How you plan all these things. You say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And then the Lord says, no, you're done. He said, I want you to wind this thing down. And so I am. And the message today is, we've been preaching from Proverbs, and we'll pick some Proverbs up this morning. But 1 Corinthians today, chapter number 12. And I thought to myself, Lord, what can we finish? Which I think, I don't know if it's helped you, but this series of messages has helped me. It's helped me to understand that God wants us to speak a certain way. God wants us to say things a certain way. God wants us to represent Him in the way we present ourselves, and the way we talk about things, and the way we do things. But I want you to look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and just verse 31. And the title of today's message, There Is a Better Way. There is a better way for you and I to do things. There is a better way for you and I to talk. And as children of God, it should not come hard, but it does. We struggle with the flesh. We struggle with things of this world. And we get frustrated. We get aggravated. You know, we are flesh living in a fleshly world. But we're also sinners saved by marvelous grace. And let me tell you what, the grace of God must tower over the things of the flesh. And it becomes a struggle. We have to make them. We have to literally sometimes pick this flesh up and throw it out of the way. Because it gets in the way. Now I'm going to give you, I'm going to review a little bit and give you some things. And then you've been keeping a list as you went. I'm giving you the final 10 today. So if you have your list, you better write fast. But I want you to have that ready. But I want to finish this message up this way. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31. But covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet shew I unto you a more excellent way. There is a better way. I want you to realize today that Christ has given us a better way to live our lives. No more do I have to live my life in the dredge clutches of sin. No more do I have to live my life in fear of where I'm going to be. No more do I have to worry about what this soul is going to have to go through, because my Savior settled it all at Calvary. And when I accepted the finished work of Jesus Christ, encompassed my soul. He took control of it. And I know that when it's over, He'll take it to where He is. I need not worry about that. He has given me a way that I should live. And He's contained it in the pages of that holy King James book that I read. And let me tell you what, if we'll stand on the standards of what God says, our life will shine for God, that the world will know we belong unto the King of Kings. Amen. We'll encompass ourselves in the Word of God and find ourselves in the Word of God. It won't take long that the world will realize, we better watch what we say around that one. He's not going to like what I talk about. He's not going to care. Let me tell you what, if you get in a group of people and they start using God's name in vain and they start cussing around you, you ought to walk away. You ought to tell them, that's not my way. You're talking about my Savior that saved my soul, that keeps me out of hell. I respect Him, and you ought to respect Him. And if you can't respect Him around me, then I'm leaving. Amen. You'll see, there's a better way for us to live our lives. He has given us a better way to walk, a better way to talk, a better way to live. It is not the world's way, because the world's way is corrupt, but God's way is a better way. It's a clean way, it's a clear way, it's a holy way. You see, there are things that come our way, And if we do not learn how to deal with them, they will soon grow out of control in our lives. God has a better plan, folks, that will bring us to a place of peace with Him and with each other. Now, our text we read this morning, we should desire the best gifts that God has for us. Child of God, you have a gift God has given you. I don't know what it is, but you know what it is. God has given you a gift. You should be using your gift to the glory of God. You should be using your gift to bring honor into God's holy name, whatever it may be. We should desire the best gift. You know, we ought to ask God, God, give me a gift. Lord, give me something that I can use for your glory, that others might see you in me. He used the word covet here in this verse. You know what this word covet means? It means to desire or want something more than anything. We should want the best gifts. Amen. We should want God to give us the best. What Paul is saying, seek those things that bring glory to God and benefit the cause of Christ. A more excellent way, he talks about in this verse, is a way more important than ourselves. It is a way that every child of God can possess if they will seek the will of God. Do you realize today, church, that if we'll put God in His proper place, if God will hold proper place in our lives, then the best gifts will flow in. God will bless us if God's in the right place. You know why today so many families and so many homes and so many individuals are in turmoil? Because God is not in the right place. God's stuck somewhere in there, somewhere He's not up here at the top. And boy, I tell you what, when tragedy comes into our lives, I want God to be right at the top. I want God to be first and foremost. So when trouble comes, and by the way, trouble will show up. If you live long enough, trouble's going to come. And let me tell you what I want God, when trouble shows up, just to be out there where I can get a hold of Him. I don't want to have to start flipping around trying to find Him. Amen. I want God to get, I want to get a hold of Him and say, boy, I'm anchored. I'm a say, come on. Oh, so many people, when trouble comes, they start saying, where did I leave God at? What did I do with Him? Well, I wish I could find Him about now. Amen. Because they gave no thought to it any other time when things was going good and when things was okay. God wasn't even in the picture. Hey, we won't go to church. We don't need to read the Bible. But boy, you let trouble come. And boy, they show up in church and they show up with their Bibles open. But let me tell you what, they left God somewhere else. Amen. We need to keep God close by. Right close encounter with Him every day. Read His Word. A more excellent way is more important than ourselves. Jesus made a direct statement in Matthew chapter 12 in verse 30. He said this, He that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. That's a direct statement. You can't be a fence rider. You're either on God's side or you're not on God's side. You've either got God in the right place or you don't have Him in the right place. There's no in between. There's no middle road to walk. You're either walking the right side or you're walking the left side. Let me tell you what, with God, there's no middle grounds. Listen, we need to get all in or get all out. Amen? That's true. There is no middle ground with Christ. If we have made up our mind today to be on God's side, then we must let God be our helper. We must let God be our guide. We must let God be our mouthpiece. We must let God guide everything that we are doing. These things we've been talking about over the past few weeks, if we do not let God help us, then we will soon be overcome by these things. We can't overcome these things by ourselves. God must be our helper. God is our helper. Boy, I tell you what, I found out in my Christian life, especially in being a pastor, buddy, I gotta call God's help in all the time. I say, oh God, I need your help. Something's coming up. And you know what? He's right there. Boy, He's right there. He's right there. Amen. He's right there. And boy, He's there. Present help in the time of trouble. Hey, I don't have to wonder if he's there. I can feel him. Sometimes I think he knocks me backwards. Woo-hoo, hallelujah. Hey, you can say what you want to, but God's right there. I can feel his presence. When trouble comes, I say, oh, God, I need you. And something comes over me, and he says, son, don't you worry about it any longer. We'll take care of it. Hey, we got to make up our mind today. We're on God's side or not. God has a better way for his children. Now, if you're not a child of God today, you know what I'm talking about. But if you are, God's got a better way. I want to review all these things again. I'm going to do them quickly. We've talked about these. We're just going to kind of kick things in review for you. Then we'll give you 10 more things and let you go home about 2:30. So you hang in there, okay? All right. It's been a long time since I preached on 10 things. But let's just kick in a review here right quickly. And look how God has a better way. You remember we talked about the judgmental person. Here, number one, the judge becomes childlike. Now you follow me this morning. The judge becomes childlike. Matthew 7 and verse 2, the Bible says, "For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye met, it shall be measured to you again." Listen, God's way is not judgmental. God's way is childlike faith. Amen. God's way is for you and I to become like a child. And you say, what does that mean, preacher? Let me tell you what, I've got a little four-year-old. That just, you know, her Annie, she darts all over the house. And just wide open all the time. And as I was thinking about this message, when he says the child of God must become childlike. You know what, that little girl, she's judgmental against nobody. Hey, she'll play with anybody. She loves everybody. And it don't matter what color they are, what they look like, what they're wearing. It doesn't matter. She doesn't judge them. She gets right in there with them. And if they want to get dirty, she gets dirty. I'm telling you what it is. That's what he means. We're to become like a child in our judgmental things, in our thinking. Let me tell you what, that little girl trusts everybody. She has nothing against nobody. And I'm going to tell you what, that's the way the child of God must be. Amen. Must have faith in our God no matter what's going on. We become judgmental over the way somebody looks, or maybe over the way where they live. Listen, we need a childlike faith. Amen. God loves them too. Amen. That's right. And God saves them as well. And the judge must become childlike. A child will soon forget the wrong that comes their way. They see all people as good. You punish that little one, and they'll cry, but it ain't long, they're hugging your neck. Amen. They forgot all that, you see. I'm telling you, we've got to become childlike. Now, I'm not saying we lift our guard, we must be on guard. We have to be on guard. We have an adversary. You know, we have to do things by the Word of God. But we can do it with a childlike faith. But when it comes to our fellow brethren and sisters, we must learn to be childlike. Second of all, we talked about the critic. You remember that? The critic, very critical of everything. They don't find very much good in nothing. Very critical. The critic only sees what can go wrong, has no faith in things going right. And I wrote this down. The critic becomes, I'm talking about God's better way, the critic becomes filled with faith. Amen? Think about that. The critic becomes filled with faith. Hebrews 11, verse 9 and 10, by faith he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. You know what he's talking about there? He's talking about Abraham. Abraham looking for that city. Let me tell you something about Abraham. We talked about him this morning, Sunday school. He stepped out on faith. Now, he could have been a critic, couldn't he? Very easily could have been a critic. God told him to pick up his stuff and go. Didn't even tell him where he was going. Didn't even tell him how he'd get there. But he told him to go. And he went by faith. Instead of being a critic, he became faith-filled. You and I today, instead of being critical of what God's doing, instead of being critical of the movement of God, we ought to have faith in what God is doing. Amen. We ought to spend time saying, how can I help this cause? How can I bring this cause to pass? Let me tell you what, the critic becomes faith-filled. When God moves in, criticism will move out, and you'll become faith-filled. Number three, we talked about the sarcastic person. Now, the sarcastic person is a person full of pride concerning himself. He goes about to find fault with people around them by using words that tear them down. Using words that he thinks makes him look better and makes somebody else look worse. Maybe he picks out a personal fault. Whatever. You see, the sarcastic person, when God's better way is, the sarcastic person becomes full of joy. Amen. Listen. When you and I get full of joy, we have no place for sarcasm. Amen. Hey, when we get filled with the joy of God, it overflows and we don't have no place for sarcasm to get in. Let me tell you something about a sarcastic person. This person has no joy. They're miserable. They're always looking for something to bring down or pull down. But boy, when joy moves in, especially the joy of the Lord, hey, it makes things look different. It makes things look better. John 15:11, the Bible says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Amen. Hey, today, if you're filled with joy, you know what you see this glass as? It's half full and getting ready to fill up. Amen. Hey, it's not half empty. It's half full. Amen. That's the joy. Fourthly, we talked about the negative person. The negative person looks at everything negative. Looks at it in a negative manner. Can't enjoy it because negative about it. I remember we used to go as a little boy, go on vacation with a whole lot of people. So in the family, we'd all go together. I was just a little fella. That's back when, some of y'all may remember when you had minor's vacation. You remember that? It only comes a certain time of the year. You had to go. You had to go when the vacation was, so everybody went. And everything shut down, and we all went. We all went together. And I remember this little fella in our group, and he was my cousin, and he couldn't enjoy himself. You know why? Because he kept saying, do you know this vacation will be over in 3 or 4 days? He could not have a good time because he knew it was going to end. That's a negative person. He only could see the negative part of that vacation. It's coming to an end in 5 days. Hey, you're missing today by looking at the negative. You know how many people are missing the joy because they're looking at the negative? They're missing what God's laid at their feet. I told you about the manna that God laid at the children of Israel's feet. They missed it because they were griping and complaining so much. Amen. We're missing what God's laid at our feet today. And so God's better way is the negative becomes positive. Thank God for the day He's gave me. Thank God for the strength He gave me to get up. Thank God for the breath He gave me. I'm going to enjoy it today. And when tomorrow comes, I'm going to enjoy tomorrow. Amen. Hey. Romans 8:28. Bible says, and we know that all things work together to good to them that love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. It would be easy in the world we live in to become negative, wouldn't it? But if we look at the world, we're going to be negative. But if we look to God, we'll be positive. Number five, we talked about the complainer. And in God's way, the complainer becomes grateful. When you become grateful for what God's given you, you don't have much room for complaining. Amen? Philippians 4, 12, 13, the Bible says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You see, are you grateful for what God's given you, or are you griping about what God's given you? Number six, we talked about the gossiper. That was what we talked about last week. The gossiper. Let me tell you what the gossiper, God's better way. The gossiper becomes trustworthy. Trust God to work all things out according to His holy will. As Christians, we are called to live in the light, not in darkness. If you're prone to gossip, you're living in darkness. You want the things of the world. You listen for the things of the world. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, the Bible says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should shew forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You see, we're to use what God's given us, our mouth, for the glory of God. And if we would use it to praise God, to thank God, we would have little time for those things that the devil so fills us up with. Amen. The devil will fill you full of these emotions if you let him. He'll make you mad. He'll make you frustrated. And I'm going to tell you what, if you listen to him long enough, he'll have you out of the congregation somewhere else. Amen? We live in a world today that's full of criticism, full of gossip, full of frustrations, full of complaining. You don't have to go very far till you hear it. All you got to do is go up and stand in line at Walmart, and you'll hear them all. Amen. I'm telling you. I was up there yesterday. It was a mess. But you know, I walked around smiling. Didn't feel much like it, but I did. But I'm telling you, it becomes easy to become frustrated and angry at people. But you know what? God has a better way. God has a better way that builds God up. It doesn't build me up. Well, I want people to like me, but it doesn't bother me if they don't. I don't want to be a hated person. But if I'm doing what God tells me to do and they don't like me, well, that's just the way it has to be. Amen? You just have to smuggle on somewhere else. Because I is who I is and I ain't what I ain't and I ain't what I used to be. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to give you 10 more things to put on your list. How many's got the list from the get-go? Wow, that's a whole lot of you. You all that don't have the list from the get-go, you're going to have to look on somebody else's list. I was giving you 40 things. I'm giving you the last 10 this morning. 40 things that'll help us with our speech. I want to give them to you today in the conclusion to this series of messages I've been preaching. We're at number 31. Number 31, it's a matter of the heart. Proverbs 16 and 23 says, the heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. You see, he says the heart of the wise. You know who the heart of the wise is? The heart of the one who has met Christ along the way and whose number one heart goal is to please God and His Savior, to please the one who has saved him. And when we settle God in our heart, it teaches our mouth some things. God teaches our mouth some things when He sets in. And he says that verse, and he addeth learning to our lips. It's a matter of the heart. You've heard me say, what's in the heart comes out the mouth. Amen. And so that's the truth. Number 32, it would ask this question. What tastes good to you? What tastes good to you? Good words or bad words? You know, Proverbs 16:24. Bible says, pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Job 23:12, Bible says, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. What tastes good to you today? You know, I like to take in sweet stuff, don't you? Oh, boy. Isn't that good? Oh, good old. Oh, my goodness, I ain't had a bite of sweets. I haven't had a bite of sweets. I'm talking about cake and pie and donuts. I haven't had a bite of that good stuff since the first of the year. But I like that sweet stuff. And I like the way it tastes. And I like those sweet words somebody throws at me. I like the way they taste. Amen. But then those ugly words, they don't taste so good. Now I would ask you, what tastes good to you? You like the sweet words or do you like the bitter words? We like sweet words to come at us. Amen. They taste so good. But let me ask you what you regurgitate back out to somebody. They like sweet words too. Amen. So if you like sweet words and they like sweet words, let's sit down at the table and let's pass the sweets. Amen. I'm hungry. Amen. Let's pass the sweets around. You see, because they taste good. Something's wrong if you would rather have the bitter than the sweet. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, there's people that likes to take in the bitter. They like that gossip. They like that, tell me. I got to know. You see, you know what you're wanting? You're wanting the bitter. Jeremiah 15:16. The Bible says, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord of hosts. We talked about this in a prayer breakfast Saturday morning. You see, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me, listen in, the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. 33, don't have a worthless religion. James 1:26, Bible says, if a man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, he deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. It's worthless. If you claim today to be a Christian, and you go out in the name of God and you spurt out words that shouldn't be spurted out, and you say things about somebody else that shouldn't be said, and you're gossiping about the preacher, you're gossiping about J.P. Mays, let me tell you something, that they'll wonder, what in the world's going on? What kind of religion has that man got? Right. Amen. Sorry, J.P., let me throw you in there. You know, listen. If we go out talking like the devil, then we're going to look like the devil. Amen. People are not going to believe anything you got to say about Jesus Christ if your talk don't back it up. Your religion is vain. Amen. That's the truth. I'm here, I'm trying. Give me a minute. We need to share the gospel. Number 34, be a good listener. What did James say in James 1:19? Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. You know what that means? You should listen more than you talk. Amen. We need to be a good listener. I thought about Pam and the crisis center. You all learn to be good listeners. They have to be good listeners. Well, they share with them, these young ladies, what is needed. But you know what? If them young ladies come in there and they didn't act like they didn't care what they had to say, they probably wouldn't stay. You know, we have to listen to what people say. We may not agree with it, and maybe what they're saying is wrong. But we ought to listen. I've talked to people, and I have met people, and I would be talking to them. While you're talking to them, they're texting, or they're looking over here, or they're looking over there, or they're looking at this, and they're flipping that, and they're turning this, and I'm thinking they're not hearing a word I'm saying. I'll talk to my children, and I'll say, you haven't heard a word I've said. He'll say, yeah, I did that. I'll say, well, spit it back at me. Huh? You ain't heard a word I said. Because you wasn't listening. Amen. Well, listening to what I said. We ought to be good listeners. This morning, you ought to be good listeners. Don't worry about the clock. It's back there. It's not, it went nowhere. You ought to be good listeners. Amen. I know we're running a little behind. You just got to bear with me now. It ain't 2:30 yet. Amen. How many's with me? Amen. We're almost done. Hang in there. There's value in a good listener. Amen. There's value in a good listener. Number 35, be good at keeping secrets. Proverbs 11:13, a talebearer reveals secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. And we talked about all this. There's just some things nobody else needs to know. Period. Amen. You just keep it where you are. And it's best to do that way. 36, can others receive nourishment from the words you feed them? In other words, can somebody benefit from what you said to them today? Have you benefited somebody today by what you said? Proverbs 10:21, the lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. Have you said something today that's nourished somebody along the way? Number 37. We talk about being a good listener. Number 37 is hear when you listen. I kind of throwed that one in with it. Pay attention to what people say. In John 12, Jesus said in verse 49-50, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so speak I. You see, Jesus said, listen. When you listen, listen to hear what people are saying. And then speak what will benefit them. Listen, we have problems. People have problems. As long as we live in this world, we're going to have problems. Sometimes people just want to share. Amen. Sometimes people just want to talk. You ought to listen to them. And then keep what they talked about to yourself. Amen. 38, this is a good one. Share the gospel. If you feel like you've got to talk about Jesus. Amen. If you feel like you're just busting to say something, say, praise the Lord, Jesus saves. Amen. Make the gospel the biggest part of our speech. Psalm 71:15, my mouth shall shew forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. People need the Lord. People need to hear about the Lord. They don't need to hear about the troubles and trials of this old world. They need to hear the remedy for the troubles and trials of this world. It's Jesus Christ, the righteous. Tell them. Matthew 9:10-12. And it came to pass as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. We live in a world that's sick. We live in a world that's sick and dying. We live in a world going to hell. You and I have got the remedy. It's Jesus Christ. We are to give our mouth to tell them about a Savior that can pull them out of the pit and set them on the right journey. We'll waste so much of our time worrying about the junk going on in this world. We can't change it, but we can change a sinner's destination from hell to heaven by sharing Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We'll worry about the tabloids. I stood in line at Walmart. I told you about them magazines. That's about the most junk I've ever seen in my life. Inquirer magazine and Know-It-All magazine. I don't know what you call them, but that's got to be the linest bunch in the world. But, I mean, you know, you got no business in that. If you want to read something, you got a Bible. Amen. Read the Bible. It'll tell you the truth. Amen. Who cares what the rest of them's doing? Number 39, bring fruit of kindness. Proverbs 31:26. She opened her mouth. Now, of course, this is the virtuous woman. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Ladies, let me say something to you. Proverbs 31 is about the virtuous woman. You have the grandest opportunity to share kindness. I'll be honest with you. I think sometimes women may be a little softer than men. And maybe a little kinder, I don't know. But I've met some I would kind of question. But they have a kinder demeanor about them. Amen? And, you know, you got a grand opportunity to share Christ in your kindness, your tenderness. And Paul would say in quietness. Amen? You see, he says there in her tongue is the law of kindness. 2 Corinthians 6:6, the Bible says, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. Here's what he said. By pureness, by knowledge, by long suffering, here it is, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfringed. 40, and that's the last one today. Be a person of restoration. Restore those who have fallen. Job 4:3-4. Behold, thou hast instructed many, and thou hast strengthened the weak hands. Thy words have upholden him that was falling, and thou hast strengthened the feeble knees. Today, we need to use our words to strengthen people, to help people. The Lord had moved me to preach on our speech, and I have to be honest with you. It's the toughest set of messages I've preached in my life. It's the hardest that I've ever preached. I've spent more time on that in deep thought, meditation, asking God the right way to go. But in so doing, God has taught me some things. I had learned some things myself. That we have an instrument child of God that we can use to glorify God with. And we should do it. And today, if you're here, let me tell you this. Most of these messages were geared to the saved. Because if you're not saved, you don't know anything about God. You got to know who He is. And oh, what a sweet peace there is in knowing God. In this wicked world we live in today, you're not going to find peace unless you find God. When you get to know Christ as your Savior, He gives you that peace that passeth all understanding. That keeps us going in this world that's falling all to pieces. Because we're not looking at this world. We're looking beyond this veil of tears. Solomon talks about that in Ecclesiastes. If we're looking at this world under the sun, and that's all we've got, well, we're in trouble. If all you've got today is what you have in this world, you're in trouble, my child. If you don't have a hope beyond this world, you're in trouble. But I got good news for you. You can have the same hope I've got. It comes through Jesus Christ. Listen, He'll save you today. He'll save you. That's what He said. Tommy, let's come and sing. He'll save you. That's what He said. If you're here today and you've never been saved, you've never asked Christ to be your Savior, what are you waiting on? What are you waiting on? Are you waiting on it to be over? Well, it's too late then. Now's the time. Right now is the appointed time. You must be saved. When you get saved, He becomes your helper. Oh, we struggle. I struggle. I have a time with things. But I know this, that no matter what I struggle with, He's my help. And He helps me. Sometimes He has to chastise me. I'm thankful for the chastisement of the Lord. I'm thankful He has to whip me. Amen. I'm thankful that He loves me enough to do so. So today, if you're not saved, won't you come? Maybe you're here, just want to pray for someone. Maybe you just want to thank God. Whatever your need is today, the altars are open. I invite you to come and ask God. If you're not saved, ask Him to save you. I guarantee you will. Amen. Let's stand and sing.